This Sunday is a special Sunday where we have the opportunity to have some of our missionaries. As you know, you've heard me speak. Every month we give attention to our missions work, our church. We have a missions budget, a monthly missions budget of $1,700 or $1,800, where we sponsor missionaries, different missionaries in different places. Some of them are our own missionaries that we have sent out. Others are Assemblies of God missionaries. Throughout this week, we were at district convention. The first 2 days are dedicated to the missions convention. We were able to see, meet, hear from our missionaries and to see how they're doing there, as well as enjoy a time of fellowship in our district convention. And this morning, I'm happy to share with you that we have one of the missionaries that we sponsor monthly, her and her husband, Roger and Sharon Holland. Roger and Sharon have been missionaries for many years. They were in Bolivia for many years. They did an incredible work over there, a teen challenge. They served that community for years, and they did an amazing job. And over the last couple of years, they are now here in the States again, and they're helping plant Hispanic churches here in the States. Reverend Roger Holland and Sharon, They're great people. They're aggressive. They work hard. And we're honored today to have Sharon with us. Roger is ministering in another church, and Sharon is here with us today. And I know that the Lord is going to use her to update us a little bit as far as what they're doing and also encourage us this morning. So help me receive her with a warm welcome this morning, Reverend Sharon Holland with us.
The Lord bless each and every one of you. Thank you, Pastor, for this privilege of allowing me to minister in your pulpit. And I just want to say that the Spirit of God is here. It's been a wonderful service, amazing worship team. Can I take them with us, you know, everywhere we go? We could help the church planners with them. Yeah, I know. But it's powerful. You guys have definitely the vision of the Lord here, and you can sense that. Well, I'm just going to briefly tell you of what the Lord has been doing with us. Praise God, we have been appointed as U.S. missions. And so in September, we'll have the privilege to go to the GO conference, and Sister Jackie will be there to anoint us as we become appointed U.S. missions. Previously, we were appointed AGWM missionaries, but now we have entered to the U.S. missions where the Lord has called us. And so we're excited to tell you that we have several church plants that were established in Georgia. We have one now in Alabama, one in Tennessee, and now the section of Brooklyn is having us come because they're going to be planting churches. The presbyter was all excited in the sectional service yesterday announcing it. And also, and I was asked to do this, Omega Vega is going to be working with us. So we're going to be working with the obreros. And she asked, Pastor, I leave these with you, to hand these out to encourage you. In the month of November, my husband and I will be giving a class about church planting, and we are looking for workers. So the two greatest prayer needs that we have, number one is workers, number two is workers, number three is workers. We have locations, we know what the need is, we just need the laborers. I think that was the same problem that Jesus had, right? He said, look on the fields, they're ready. But who's not ready? The workers. So we're going to believe God. But how many know that the Lord of the harvest knows where those people are? Just yesterday, one person came up to me and said, count me in, please count me in. So God is touching hearts, and God is doing miracles. God is even helping. He's given the grace to my husband, as you all know, to find locations with Methodist church, with Lutheran churches, some Assemblies of God churches. We just got a Lutheran church to approve a church plant for only $200 a month. That's a miracle. And that's what God has been doing all across this country. God is bringing revival. So thank you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. This is a big project, but God is bigger. Amen? Let's stand. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. The title of our message today is Hide and Seek. Proverbs 25:2 says, It is God's privilege to conceal things and the king's privilege to discover them. Say that again. It is God's privilege to conceal things and the king's privilege to discover them. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you because you want us to seek your face. You want us, oh God, to find that relationship that you are offering to every single one in this world, every single one of your children. Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will speak this morning and that you will impact our lives, that when we leave this place, our attitude will be changed, our perspective will be changed, and our purpose will be changed to focus in a closer way to the call that you have upon us. In the name of Jesus, we ask you these things. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you remember playing hide and seek? As a child, it was elating and scary at the same time to play hide and seek. There was a feeling of wonder as you began to search. But as time went on, if you couldn't find that person you so wished to find, fear would grip you, especially when you were really young, right? And you would begin to cry and beg for that person, especially the parent or sibling, to show their face and end the mystery. You know, our God is a God of mystery. How many of you want to know God in a deeper way? ¿Cuántos quieren conocer a Dios en una manera más profunda? Eso es lo que él desea. There was a time when man had God's face hidden from him. God's face and his presence was with man at all times. You know the story, right? Adam and Eve, they were in the garden, and the Bible says that God would come and meet with them. But he didn't have to search for him, because the Bible says that God would come down to the garden daily, as implied in Genesis 3:8. But because of their disobedience and the introduction of sin into the world, God began to hide his face from man. How many of you have understood that God does hide his face? Raise your hand. Because many times people think, well, you know, God's there. God is there. He's right there. It's man that's hiding. But we're going to look at the scriptures and understand exactly what it means that God hides his face and what does it mean to seek his face. Amen. Vamos a mirar por las escrituras porque muchas personas no entienden que hay un misterio en el esconder el rostro de Dios y el hombre buscar el rostro de Dios. Y vamos a ver en las escrituras lo que nos dice. Genesis chapter 3, verse 23, if you're following along with me. Genesis 3, chapter 3, verse 23 says, so the Lord God banished him, speaking of who? Of Adam and Eve, from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. El Señor sacó a Adán y Eva del jardín donde estaban ellos en esa comunión íntima con el Padre y los mandó afuera para trabajar, para que ya no pudieran estar en el mismo lugar. It wasn't going to be the same any longer. Man could not have access to God the way he used to. He had given. Adam had given, Adam and Eve literally had given Satan authority over the earth for accepting his lies. And now if man wanted to have communion with God, he had to seek him with all his heart. Did you ever have something good get away from you? ¿A usted le ha pasado que ha tenido algo bueno, excelente en sus manos y lo ha perdido? This is what happened to Adam and Eve. They had an excellent relationship with the Father. They had an excellent life with the Father. But because of sin, because of disobedience, they gave the authority over to the enemy. Now, what does that mean today. We know that through all the scriptures as we read it, God had a plan of salvation. ¿Cuánto le dan gracias a Dios por el plan de salvación? Amen. He had a plan of salvation. It wasn't like man had to figure it out. As you notice in the drama, the child is desperately seeking for his father. But where was the father the whole time? He was sitting right there. He was right there. And he says that to him, right? When he finally comes to him, he says, I've been here the whole time. ¿Cuánto le dan gracias a Dios? That he's always there for you. Amen? ¿Cuánto le dan gracias a Dios? Que cuando usted vino a los pies del Señor, he was there to receive you. It wasn't a surprise for him. It's just a surprise for us. But the scripture says that God has hidden his face from the nations. Vamos a mirar Salmo 14, verso 2. Psalm chapter 14, verse 2. Psalm 14, verse 2 says, the Lord looks down from heaven on the entire human race. He looks to see if anyone is truly wise, if anyone seeks God. He's looking down on the nations to see if anyone truly seeks God. There have been godly men since the time of Adam that have searched for the face of God and have been blessed to call him friend. Nosotros sabemos que hay hombres honrosos, hombres de Dios desde el tiempo de Adán, que han buscado el rostro de Dios y han sido bendecidos y considerados el amigo de Dios. But as a whole, even the nation of Israel didn't seek after God. Their desire was not to please them, but to please themselves.
Aún la nación de Israel no tenía el deseo de buscar el rostro de Dios, y por esa razón ellos no pudieron tener esa intimidad con Dios, porque solamente querían complacerse a sí mismo.
Deuteronomy 32:20 says, he said, I will abandon them. Then see what becomes of them. For they are a twisted generation, children without integrity. Imagine being abandoned by a parent. You know, when you're playing hide and seek, for a moment you feel abandoned. But praise God, when that union comes between the child and the father, there is that sense of gratitude of, oh, thank God you're here. Oh, thank God you didn't leave me. But praise God, the abandonment that God has is only for a moment. He has a solution, and that solution is in Jesus Christ, our Savior. How many of you praise God this morning for that? Listen to what Isaiah 59:2 says. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. You know, the world has a concept today. El mundo tiene un concepto hoy. That if there is a God, why is he so mean? Que si hay un Dios, ¿por qué es tan malo? How can there be a God with so many sick people? How can there be a God with so many poor people? How can there be a God when there's so much war out there? El mundo quiere preguntarse que cómo puede haber un Dios si hay enfermedades, hay guerra, hay pobreza, hay violencia. ¿Cómo puede haber un Dios? Pero lo que el mundo no entiende, que el problema no es Dios, el problema somos nosotros. The world does not understand that the problem is us, not the world. I mean, not God. God has hidden his face from a perverse generation. You know, we hear a lot of people saying, what a horrible generation we're in. Oh my goodness, this generation. You know, the older the people get, the worse the generation becomes. Have you noticed? Like the real older ones are like, oh my Lord, this generation. And the younger ones are like, I don't think we're so bad, are we? But I have news for you. All generations till this day have been perverse. There is not one generation that can say, oh, we're better than the rest. The generation of today does not believe in a creator. No fear of moral laws. The greater the sin, listen, the greater the sin, the more God's face is hidden. How do we know that? Because if you notice that the greater the sin, the less fear of God there is. When you have fear of God, it's because you know, hey, there's a God up there. Be careful. He sees you. Oh, no. How could I do that? There's a God. There's a God. But when you start saying, there's no God, there's no God. Why are they saying there's no God? What is coming into their heart? What is causing them to feel that there is no God? Because the Bible says that his presence is removed. We have a dilemma, folks. The presence of God that we bring, because it's not these walls that hold the presence of God. You don't walk in through that door and you're like, woohoo! Suddenly, you know, this mysterious thing happened to you. Santo, presence. No, you bring the presence of God. Give the Lord a clap because you came with the presence of God. Let me tell you, if you don't have the presence of God, they can sing here until they're hoarse. And you're like, you know, I have four kids. And I remember those teenage stages, you know, where the power of God is falling and you're like. And I was observing one young boy in the convention. And he was there, you know, with his cell phone. And his parents were lost in the Lord. And the whole place was falling down. The power of God was everywhere. And he was like. Because this is a heart thing. This is a relationship. Nobody can seek God for you. You know, all we can say, you know, put that away. Get up. Respect the Lord. We're in God's house. Don't talk. But when you have the relationship, when you're seeking God's face, you don't need that. You want to find his presence. How many came to find the presence of God? Praise the Lord. The greater the sin, the more God's face is hidden and needs to be sought after. It's not that you can't find his face. It's that you're going to have to work even more to seek his face. We have to work harder to help people find his face. God wants to know who truly wants to know him. Who wants to know him this morning? Amen. It's the desire of the Father that man will see his face. He wants man to see his face. He's hiding his face. Why? Because of sin. But he wants his face to be seen. Isaiah 54:8 says, in a burst of anger, I turned my face away for a little while, but with everlasting love, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. Thank God for his compassion. If he didn't have any compassion on us, forget we will ever find his face because of compassion. God's law requires him to reject sin. He's not going to make excuses. He's not going to accept our excuses. He's not going to, you know, pasale la mano. I can't say that in English, but you understand what I mean. He's not. But his love and compassion found the way for man through Jesus, our Savior, to find his face. Psalm 102:2 says, don't turn away from me in my time of distress. I love those songs that was being sung. Free, freedom, you were there, you broke the chains, you did it, you delivered me. Because like the psalmist said, don't turn away from me in my time of distress. Bend down to listen and answer me quickly when I call you. How many have been answered quickly by the Lord? Amen. He will answer quickly. You know, you are truly seeking God's face. You know how you know when you're truly seeking God's face? When your heart is full of compassion for souls. When it's not about you, when the whole world is not rotating around you,
but it's about others. When life is about others, that's when you know you're seeking God's face. Because that's what's pleasing to the Father. Romans 10, we're going to read these scriptures because they're so beautiful, tells us that it is our responsibility and obligation, and I want to underline obligation, to teach others to seek his face. How many of you found his face? You finding his face? And every day you're seeking his face, because you don't find it once and then forget about it. You know, that's why God said, you will not make an image of me. Because if we have an image of him, you know, we're like, oh, you're so wonderful. I love you. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I just worship you, Lord. And because this is what we do with idols, you know. Some people have this as an idol. I won't go into that. A lot of people go into that. But you get what I'm saying. But you seek his face every day. But how many want to share for others to find his face? Like I said, if you're seeking his face, you want to share for others to find him also. Listen to what Romans chapter 10, verse 10 through 21 says. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing. That is, hearing the good news about Christ. But I ask, have the people of Israel actually heard the message? Yes, they have. How many people here in New York have heard the message? Oh my gosh, there's churches all over the place. The message has gone throughout the earth and the words to all the world. But I ask, did the people of Israel really understand? But I asked, did the people in the United States really understand? But I asked, do the people in Europe really understand? Do the people in Asia really understand? Yes, they did. For even in the time of Moses, God said, I will rouse your jealousy through people who are not even a nation. I will provoke your anger through the foolish Gentiles. And later Isaiah spoke boldly for God, saying, I was found by people who were not looking for me. I showed myself to those who were not asking for me. You know what? If you don't seek God for yourself, there's somebody else that God's going to show himself to. If you don't want to take the opportunity to have that intimate relationship with God, and little by little, his face is turning away, and that gap is becoming greater and greater, don't worry, there's going to be someone out there who's desperate for God to show his face to him. I don't think any of us want someone to replace our place, right? We want to bring someone along with us. And says later, Isaiah spoke boldly for God, saying, I was found by people who were not looking for me. I show myself to those who were not asking for me. But regarding Israel, God said, all day long I opened my arms to them, but they were disobedient and rebellious. Brothers and sisters, if we don't tell others to seek his face, or send those that will go where we can't go and tell them to seek his face and why they need to seek his face, we will be responsible for their loss. If there are people out there that do not get an opportunity to seek the Father's face because they have not heard the gospel, the only one to be blamed is not the Father, is not the Son, is not the Holy Spirit. It is the fault of the church itself. I'm not here to guilt you. That's not my responsibility. I can't guilt. I'm just here to remind you what the Word of God says. That if we do not respond to the call that the Holy Spirit is giving us to bring others to seek His face, we will become responsible. But I want to tell you that not everyone will seek Him. There are plenty like Israel who continue to be disobedient and rebellious. But we must be like the first missionary, the Apostle Paul. How many here can say, I'm going to be like Paul. I'm going to be a missionary like Paul. Amen? So Paul, I love this scripture. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I noticed that you're very religious to every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines. And one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. This God whom you worship without knowing is the one I'm telling you about. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since He is Lord of heaven and earth, He doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve His needs, for He has no needs. He Himself gives life and breath to everything, and He satisfies every need. From one man, He created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and He determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God. You hear that there? His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward Him and find Him, though He is not far from any one of us. For in Him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are His offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times. But now, listen to this, but now He commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to Him. He's not overlooking ignorance anymore. Does that settle with you? Do you understand that the greater knowledge people have of God, the greater the consequence is going to come upon them? The greater responsibility that we have to bring people to seek God's face. Because if we don't understand the fact that ignorance is no longer going to be accepted, we're not going to move quickly to be able to do His work. It says, for He has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man He has appointed. And He proved to everyone who this is by raising Him from the dead. When they heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, some laughed in contempt, but others said, we want to hear more about this later. That ended Paul's discussion with them, but some joined him and became believers. That was his first church plant. Among them were Dionysus, a member of the council, a woman, Damaris, and others with them. That's found in Acts 17, verse 22 and 34. Paul found those who were willing to seek His face and find Him. We must do the same. Now, what is the reward? The reward is amazing for those who find His face. Because, you know, when you seek after something, you're like, you're looking, you're looking. How many of you women like to shop? Right? You like going shopping? And you're looking for a particular pair of shoes. I just had that experience recently. I was looking for a specific color, a specific shoe. And I went, because I'm not a millennial, you know. I went from store to store to store. First to the sales, then oh, let me see if I can actually afford that. Do I really want to pay that much? You know, and trying on the shoe. Oh, they didn't have my size. And you're just so frustrated. But you don't stop seeking for that shoe. You need that shoe. You got that in your mind. You have that color. You have that shoe you want to get. So finally, I couldn't find it anywhere. I said, okay, Amazon. So 2 days, your shoe will arrive. There I was. Roger, did the bell ring? Did the delivery come yet? You know, and then you get the email, your delivery is on its way. And finally, ding, run. The shoe! And I put it on. Woo, yes! My perfect shoe. You want to be rewarded. when you're seeking. Isn't it frustrating that you're trying to find and you're trying to seek, buying a house? Whatever it is that you're looking for, you have exactly what you want and you expect to be rewarded. You know, God wants you to know that when you seek Him, He rewards those that seek. And it's not like a pair of shoes. And it's certainly not like a house or a career or a wife or a husband or whatever it is that you are seeking. It is eternal, eternal rewards that God is giving to us. And that's what He wants us to desire. Isaiah 55, verse 6 through 7 says, "Seek the Lord while you can find Him. Call on Him now while He is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that He may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for He will forgive generously." How many are so pleased that God has rewarded us with forgiveness? Look at your brother and sister next to you and say, "Hey, you've been forgiven." Don't carry that burden anymore. And if you're carrying the burden, all you have to do is seek Him. Just seek Him, because He is going to forgive you. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You know, when you seek God in prayer, when you seek God in the Word, when you seek God doing His will, He will provide His Holy Spirit, and He will give you power, power to do what He's asked you to do. You want to see the chains broken in your life? Because it's not singing the song that's going to break the chains. You can say it 50,000 times. Break every chain. Break every chain. Oh, chain is still there. Break every chain. Break every chain. Oh, my goodness, you know? And some people think that it's just coming to church and winding it up. You know, like the monkey when you wind it up. Ding, 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 and it comes out. This is a matter of relationship. This is a matter of heart. This is a matter of seeking God for His Holy Spirit. Psalm 27:4 says, "The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in His temple." You know what else God will give you? He will provide a place of worship. Give a hand clap for your church. And I know your pastor's so excited. We came in and he was showing us the plans and telling us about the building plan and everything that God is doing. Isn't it exciting? But I'm sure, Pastor, you really had to seek His face to come to that blessing. Each one of you had to seek His face to receive the blessing. You know, lots of people that are out there saying, "You know, I don't have a church. I don't know. The churches today are so dead, and we can't find churches to go to, so we'll just stay home and watch it on the internet." Not seeking God's face. Because when you seek God's face, you want to see the face of your brothers and sisters. Look at your brother and sister next to you and say, "You look like my dad. You look just like my dad and my brother, Jesus." Gosh. You know, I'm telling you, that's a breaker for people who can't get along with each other or people who don't like different races and all that. And say, "If we're Christians, that doesn't fly. Because you look just like you should. You should. Because I don't think you have another father, you know. You should look like my dad and look like my brother." That's why we come. We come because the power of God is even greater when we get together. You know, you're there in your house rebuking demons and all by yourself, but come to church and rebuke demons with your brothers and sisters, and you'll pull heaven down. Come to prayer meetings. That's a benefit for prayer meetings. Sometimes the prayer meetings have 2-3 people. You say, "Where are all the other powerhouses? We need generators here." How many of you are a generator of the power of God? Amen. And the famous verse that you all know by memory, Matthew 6:33, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you" what? everything you need. That's another message, the need. Everything. He will provide sustenance. That's the last thing on the list. When you're seeking God's face, you remember that old song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Because, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. All of a sudden, what you thought was so important down here on earth does not become as important when you start to seek his face. And that's how we get people to turn to Jesus. They begin to walk away from their sin and seek his face. Let's stand. If you're not seeking, something is wrong. If you're not helping others to seek, something is wrong. Don't wait till he hides his face permanently, because time is short. The Lord said, my spirit will not put up with humans for such a long time, for they are only mortal flesh. In the future, their normal lifespan will be no more than 120 years. You know when he said this? He said this before the flood. It says, in those days and for some time after, giant Nephilim lived on the earth. For whenever the sons of God had intercourse with women, they gave birth to children who became the heroes and famous warriors of ancient times. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, and I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them. Matthew 24 says, when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Number 6, 24 through 26 gives us a blessing. So let us instead make the resolution in our hearts today. Raise your hand if you want to make that resolution in your heart today. Make a resolution in our heart today to truly seek his face while he may yet be found. Let us with our light help others to do the same. And if you could memorize this blessing, it's found in Numbers 6, 24 through 26. Listen to this blessing. It says, the Lord bless you. Now you repeat that with me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. I don't know if there's anyone among us today that has not been seeking the face of God the way you should or she should, but you want to make it right today. I say, I grew tired. I grew tired of seeking him. Things got in the way, but I want to find him. He's here. He's not far. He's not up in heaven far away. He is right here waiting. If that's you, I invite you to come to the altar. We want to pray for you. And if you feel in your heart that you want to share the love with others to seek him, I know that many of you are doing, and this is not the call for you, but this is for those who have stopped helping for others to seek his face. The Lord wants to find you, to have that time with you. If there's anybody that needs prayer today, I don't want to conclude without that opportunity. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, thank you so much, Pastor, for the opportunity. May God bless you. Let's just thank the Lord for this time. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the ministering of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the reminder of seeking your face and bringing others to seek you. We know, God, that your face is hidden from the nations, but we want the nations to know who you are, to find you. Lord, we know that we must send missionaries to encourage the people to seek your face. Even in this land of the United States, so many areas that are darkened, so many areas, God, that the gospel is not being heard, that the relationship of a Christian believer with a non-Christian is not encouraging them to seek you. By the power of your Holy Spirit, God, open the heavens and bring freedom to souls. Open the heavens.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.